Welcome to the Upward Running Podcast, where faith fuels your fitness journey.
Welcome back to the Upward Running Podcast. This is your one stop, well, in this case, second stop each week to be motivated and inspired to get off the couch and onto the running trail, where you can in turn inspire others to do the same. Let's learn, laugh, and leap into running together, giving God the glory for what we are able to do in His name. Amen. Well, I'm your running host, Dean Thompson, coming to you this time from my home. But I have a couple of guests with me here. If you've ever listened to the podcast or have listened to the podcast for a fairly good period of time, you have probably heard our first guest. That is Lane Hollis, and you know him as the son of Mitchell Hollis. We followed him through his triathlon and college running years. And again, we're glad to have Lane here. Welcome back, Lane.
Thank you. It is good to be back.
Lane always says something profound, so we're looking forward to that at some point during this podcast today.
Well, we'll see. Maybe something profound about Noah Lyles, but...
Yeah. And then joining us for the first time ever is Patton Rector. He was a teammate with Lane in high school. What I love about Patton was he was the positive guy on the team who was always trying to build everybody else up, trying to pump everybody up and get them fired up about running. And anybody that does that is great in my sight. So welcome to the podcast, Patton.
Thank you, Dean. Great to be here.
Yeah. So have you ever been on a podcast before?
I don't think I have.
All right. Well, welcome. This is going to be awesome. And of course, the reason for this bonus edition of the podcast is to talk more in depth about the USA Track Championships. Usually when this time of year comes around, we did this last year for the Olympics and the Olympic trials. And it's just fun to talk in depth about this stuff with some running geeks. Last year, I did that with Co Booker. And this year we're going to talk through that with, Lane and Patton. So, the meet of course took place where else, but in Tracktown, USA in Eugene, Oregon, on the campus of the University of Oregon at one of the most beautiful track facilities in the world. It is absolutely gorgeous. It was brand new just a few years ago. They held the world championships there in the first year that it was up. But before we get started on the individual races, there's a few things that I noticed. You guys can chime in and comment on these things if you'd like. But here's the three things that I learned. I didn't learn. I've seen it before, but it became really apparent in this race. Number one, trying to lead for the entire race is really hard. We saw several cases this week where people that went out hard and led the race, Neguse for one, Jared Neguse in the 1500 faded and didn't make it. Josh Hoey in the 800 faded, didn't make it. Those were the biggest examples, but there were others as well. And we found out that leading races is not really a good idea, it seems. And then my second thing is championship racing is different than what I call time trial racing. Time trial racing is where you have a rabbit, they go out at a certain pace, and you try to hang on to that pace. Championship racing, sometimes they go out really slow. And there were several races in this meet where it was slow to start with. And for example, Hawker would probably never win an all-out 5,000 meters, but he can win one that starts out slow, and he did. And then finally, you know, there's always big surprises at the U.S. Championships. You never know what it's going to be. Nobody ever calls them. You always have that one that comes out of nowhere to do something crazy, and there was an abundance of that this year, a lot of surprises in this year's championships. So, it's fun every year. Let's Run has a picking contest where you pick 1, 2, and 3 for each race. Man, was I way off on a lot of races this year, as it was crazy. But anyway, one of the things that people don't like about our championships and the way we pick our team that goes to the world championships is this idea that if you have a bad race on the wrong day, for example, in women's 800 meters, the person who was favored was Addie Wiley. Well, she got tripped up and almost fell in the last 100 meters. She didn't make it. And that's a shame. And people don't like that because they feel like, well, if she was the number one runner, she should get to go. But I like the idea that everything is on the line on that one race. What do you guys think about that?
Pat?
I thought you were going first, but I mean, that's the whole spirit of the sport. You get one race. It's not a best of seven series. So I think if there's any better way to decide it, one race says it all.
I agree. Of course, well, we had that back in the cross country days when you had to finish in the top seven to be on varsity. And sometimes you were in and sometimes you were out, right? In your early years, I think you were on that, weren't you, Patton?
I was on the cusp the first couple of years.
Yeah, yeah.
Up until junior year, probably.
Yeah, yeah.
Then senior year is a different story.
Then you were dominating. Lane, what do you think?
Yeah, I think it's important to have that one day because it's like it's a certain aspect about being able to perform on a singular day. I mean, that's why people who win multiple golds in Olympics back to back to back 4 years apart is so impressive. Because I mean, if you just took the average of everyone's performances, you'd only have like three people who would ever be on the team. And so I think being able to, being able to perform on a singular day is really important to separate those people who can do that.
Well said. Well, we don't have a whole lot of structure for this podcast. So what we're going to do is we're just going to go down the list of races. We're going to start with the shortest races and go through the longer races. If you don't know this, as we were just kind of talking about, the top three from each race qualify for the world championships if they have the qualifying standard. So for each race, there's a qualifying standard. You have to run under a certain time in order to be eligible for that. Now, we still have over a month before the world championships begin. So it is possible for somebody to finish in that top three and then still get in with a qualifying time in between now and the world championships. But what happens, some of these races, as I said, they go out slow and the races aren't real fast. And so they don't get the world championship standard in the race. And that happened to several people. So in that case, what they typically do is if the fourth place person has the standard, they'll take that fourth place person over that third place person. So that happened last year in the Olympics to a couple of folks. So let's start off with the 100 meters. It's the premier event for any casual track fans, but for the diehards, that isn't necessarily true. But for us and for the people listening to this, the 100 meters is the one that everybody knows about, right? Everybody knows who Usain Bolt is. Most people know who Noah Lyles is. So let's start with the women. On the women's side, we had Melissa Jefferson, who ran 10.65, which is a fast time. I think that made her fourth all time with that time. So really fast. She's been killing it this year. Kayla White was second. That was a surprise. And then Aaliyah Hobbs third. Good fast times. They ought to do well at Worlds. Melissa Jefferson, I don't know if she's lost a race this year. She beat the Olympic champion this year. And she's just crushing it. I think she did lose a 200-meter race, but I don't think she's lost 100. Good race. What did you guys see the women's 100? It wasn't on NBC.
Is Melissa the one that has just an immaculate running form? I can't remember. There was a woman sprinter, and I want to say it's hers. I can't remember. Or maybe she just won by a ton.
She has been winning races by forever. Well, she won this race by almost 0.2 seconds. I mean, that's forever.
Yeah, I mean, it just looked odd for someone to win by that margin at a USA champion event. I mean, other than, 400 hurdles and Sydney McLaughlin, you just really don't see that all that much.
Yeah, well, you mentioned form. She's definitely I'm not going to talk about her person, but her form is way more attractive than Sha'Carri Richardson's by a long way. Tavisha Carey Richardson's kind of ugly when she runs, but she gets it done.
If there were walls on the lane line, Sha'Carri Richardson's knees would hit them.
Yeah. She would. T.T. Terry and Tamari Davis were fourth and fifth. They were the odd folks out. Sha'Carri Richardson didn't run the 100. She ran the opening round and then didn't run the second round because she's got a bye because she's the defending champion. And so she gets a bye. So she didn't have to run. But she's not been looking good this year. Have you seen her run this year? She's not been great.
Yeah, I just watched that. I guess it was the first round. I forgot that she had a bye. I didn't even know that was a thing, that the world champion gets a bye, until this past couple of days.
Yeah. Yep. So Sha'Carri Richardson will be at the world championships. I don't think she's going to have an impact, though. You guys feel like these ladies, any of these folks, will do anything at Worlds? What do you think? You think Melissa Jefferson's got a chance at winning it, or?
I think Melissa Jefferson just having a great season. I mean, to do what she's doing in the 100 and the 200, doubling and qualifying in both, winning in both, she's going to have a shot with the season she's having.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think she wins it all. That's my prediction, that she wins the world championships in the 100. I don't think she'll win the 200, but I do think she'll win the 100. So we'll see. On to the men. The men, of course, Kung Fu Kenny. Kenny Bednarik won the 100, ran 9.79. It's a PR for him, and a super fast time. Courtney Lindsay was second in 9.82, very close to him. And then even closer to Courtney was T-Mars McCallum, running 9.83. You guys ever seen T-Mars run before?
I have not, no.
I watched him in the SEC Championship. He runs for University of Tennessee, and he finished seventh in the SEC Championship, finished eighth in the NCAA Championships, and then finished third in the United States Championships. So that's the thing. That's my only knock on T-Mars, is that he's very inconsistent. He can look like a world beater one minute, and then the next he's just an also-ran. And so I guess we'll see what happens in the World Championships. He came through this time in the 100. He did not in the 200, but he did in the 100, so... Trayvon Bromell was running super, super fast early in the year, and he ran 9.84 in this race and didn't make it to the World Championships. Almost any other year, 9.84 would win the U.S. Championships, and he's not even going to the World Championships. Isn't that crazy?
That is wild.
And, of course, Noah will be there because he's the defending champion, so he will be in the 100 as well. So, the top seven in this race were 9.92 or better.
Really?
Yeah.
That's insane.
What was the wind on it?
There was almost no wind. Yeah. Yeah, I think it was like 0.4, something like that. Yeah. So what do you think will happen at Worlds? You think Noah Lyles beats Kenny at Worlds, or do you think somebody else comes in?
I looked at Noah Lyles' PB, and it just happens to be 9.79.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know. One thing that I noticed about Kenny that seemed odd is, you know, he's a big dude. And in his last, like, 25 yards, his body did not really lengthen out all that much. I mean, he stays pretty, like, choppy the entire time. Like, just the way that, I don't know. You know how, like, in the last 40, you really kind of see them elongate theirself? Kenny just like kind of stays with that like tapping motion. I just thought that was interesting.
He holds his form well. And I think most people's form breaks down some, and he holds his well. And it looks odd because everybody else is breaking down.
Yeah, maybe it is that his like upper body and his like knee height just stays so composed that I think he's being choppy.
Yeah. But, yeah. Well, my prediction is at Worlds, I think Kashane Thompson wins it. So I don't think it matters what anybody else brings. Of course, I said that about the Olympics, and Noah nipped him at the line. So
yeah,
we'll see what happens. But Kashane Thompson, talk about a big guy. Kashane Thompson's he is a Jamaican. So and he's been running really well this whole spring. So we'll see. Kung Fu Kenny has been running really well as well. So we'll see. But Courtney wasn't far behind him. That was a surprise. Yeah. Courtney's been around for a little while, so for him to be up there was pretty exciting, I thought. The 200 meters women, Melissa Jefferson, again, 21.84, a pretty good time. But then second was Anavia Battle. I don't know that she's ever made it to a world championship team or any world team. Gabby Thomas wound up finishing third, and she only ran 22.2. And then I found out, of course, Gabby Thomas is the one that won the Olympics this past winter, but or past summer. Gabby has been dealing with an Achilles issue, and she beat Brittany Brown by 1/1000th of a second and beat Mackenzie Long by 2/1000th of a second. 2/1000th of a second separated third from fifth.
Well, that's
close.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's always fun to watch when that happens.
Christian loves Gabby Thomas.
I do too.
I think Gabby Thomas is
my favorite. Yeah, yeah. So how do you think they'll do at Worlds? Any ideas?
Well, I didn't know that Gabby Thomas was dealing with a bit of, you know, injury. But I don't know if you watched. Did you watch the Netflix? Have you watched Netflix documentary Sprint?
Sprint, yep.
So Gabby Thomas is in that. And I don't know. There's just some people who, like, when you see them train and you see them run, you're like, oh, they're probably, you know, they'll probably be here, you know, 3-4 years. I feel like Gabby Thomas is probably one that's going to stay around.
Yeah.
I would presume. Just from the documentary.
I agree. She's another one. Her form is fantastic. She's fun to watch run.
Yeah.
Really powerful. So I hope she's able to get over the Achilles issue and be 100% for world championships, because she's certainly got a chance if she is. Melissa Jefferson's going to give her a run for her money. And then, of course, what's her name? Won the 100 last year in the Olympics. She's going to obviously be somebody to be reckoned with as well. So, but the American women always have a chance at finishing in the medals for sure.
Yeah.
On the men's side, this was the exciting race, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Noah winds up just passing Kenny just before the line. He runs 19.63, which is the world lead. He's been injured and hasn't really been running hardly at all. And then comes through and wins this thing over a guy that hasn't been losing anything. Which was pretty impressive. And then somebody named Robert Gregory finished third. I don't even know who Robert Gregory is. And I'm a fairly astute track fan, but Robert Gregory to me came out of nowhere. But Kenny and Noah, for those who don't know, Noah looks over at Kenny just as they're passing the line, and kind of that, yeah, I beat you. Kind of just a, I don't know, kind of a smart alecky way of looking at it. And I never have liked that kind of thing, but it does add some flavor to the sport. But then as they're decelerating, Kenny kind of crosses over into Noah's lane and gives Noah a little bit of a push, because it really kind of made him mad. Yeah. And then I think they both noticed that the cameras were on.
Yeah.
And I think Kenny at that point thought, uh-oh, this didn't look good. Let me go apologize. And I think he went to Noah and extended his hand. Noah didn't take it. Maybe eventually he did, but there's some bad blood between the two of them.
Yeah.
And but I'm a Kenny fan. I'm not a Noah fan. And so I'd love to see Kenny come back and get him personally, but that's just me. What about you?
I just don't like Noah Lyles for reasons other than that he's cocky. So let me preface this with saying that Noah is a phenomenal runner and will go down as probably one of, you know, in the handful of best ever.
Yeah.
I'm not, you know, hating on that. But I feel, in my mind, in Lane's mind, when I see Noah and when I watch the sprint documentary and when I see him on the track, I feel like he is trying to play someone.
Yeah.
I feel like when he's being cocky, when he's doing all of his stuff, I feel like it's a little, I feel like it's fake almost. Like when I use this example. I've heard the example used before. Usain Bolt was kind of a showman, but it was real. And I'm not, I like that example, but I have a different one. I would even use Shakari Richardson. Shakari Richardson is, to a lot of people, fairly obnoxious. But you can tell that that's who she is. Like, I mean, that, like, she is playing no character. But I feel like Noah Lyles is, like, trying to play this, like, superstar. And that's what I don't like. So that's just my two cents. So I'm a Kenny fan on this one.
Oh, good. Good. That's a good hot take. Patton, what do you think about that whole thing?
I think, like Lane said, I think if you're a fan of the sport, you're really not a fan of what Noah Lyles does outside of just the running. But, I mean, it brings non-fans to the sport to watch it, I believe.
Yeah, that's the catch-22 over it, right? Anytime you have a bad guy or somebody who can play the bad guy, it brings eyeballs, and that's good for the sport. So I feel like, although I don't really care for it much, I feel like it's good for the sport. So, yeah.
Yeah.
It's interesting. What do you think about Worlds? You think Noah can win the World Championships? You think Kenny can win the World Championships?
I mean, I would like to think not, but he's shown that he probably will, or has a really good shot. But I don't know. It's just hard. It's just hard to get past his like last 60 yards. I mean, it's just really difficult to. I mean, you got to really have something on him for him to not get you in the last like 40.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think Noah Lyles may be, other than Usain Bolt, maybe the best 200 meter runner ever.
Yeah,
not so in the 100, but in the 200, yes. So I mean, I think he'll win the
sustained excellence that he's had over the last 5-6 years.
Yeah,
it just shows.
Yep. The 400 meters, starting with the women. Interestingly, Sydney McLaughlin-Lavroni decided to forego the 400-meter hurdles and run the flat 400 or the 400-meter dash. And to nobody's surprise, she wins in 48.9, which is still, she's been trying to break that American record for a while. I think the American record is, I want to say it's 48.6-ish. And so she's been close a couple of times. But she hasn't broken the American record. And I think every time she doesn't break the American record, she looks up at the clock and she's disgusted with herself.
Yeah.
But I fully expect her to do it at the World Championships, because in this particular race, the next person behind her was almost a second behind her. She was not really being pushed. And I think at World Championships, Marlady Polino will be pushing her. Sydney Nasser. She will be pushing her. They will be running at least in the 48s. And so the world record is 47.6, and it has been around since the 80s, early 80s. And so I would love to see them break that record, but they're still a ways off from it. So, but I think I think they've got a chance at being close to that. Sydney would have to run over a second faster, but I think if she's being pushed, I don't know what she can do. So we'll see. Isabella Whitaker was second, 49.59. Aaliyah Butler was third in 49.91. Here's the interesting thing. I thought about this, and I thought, we're falling back in the 400-meter dash for women especially, because I went back and I looked at the 2024 SEC Championships, and the third-place finisher in the fourth place finisher at SECs in 2024 happened to be Aaliyah Butler. She was fourth at SECs. Yeah. She was third at USA's. That was 2024, but she ran faster at SECs than she ran in the USA's. So that SEC championship race overall was faster. Now, Sydney was faster than they were, but overall the race was faster. So I feel like we're not making as good a progress on the 400 meter for the women as we are in other ones. So I think Sid will win a medal. Not sure what color, but I don't see us winning a second medal in the 400 meters. You guys?
Is this going to be her first 400 world championship, or did she win it last year also?
No, this is the first open 400 she's run in the world championships. Hmm. She's run a lot of open 400s, but it's first time at the world championships.
Yeah.
Yep. So.
She ran at the Olympics last year, didn't she?
The 400 hurdles. Not the 400.
She just ran the 400 hurdles. When did she make the switch? I know it was sometime in the last year.
This is the first time that she has, you know, in a world championship setting, whether it be a Olympics or world championships, this is the first time it's not the 400 hurdles. I don't understand why she doesn't run both. Now, that would be hard to do at USA's, but I would love to see her double.
She's not going to double at Worlds?
No.
Oh, wow. I thought she would get a bye, wouldn't she, for the
she would. Hurdles? Yep. Oh, wow. She would, but she's going to forego the hurdles and just run the flat 400. So I don't like her coach at all.
Really?
Her coach also happens to coach, I think, Mo, and I think he has completely ruined her.
Really?
I feel like his runners never look like they're having any fun when they run.
Yeah.
I mean, he's coached some great athletes, and they've done some great things. I'm not saying anything about his ability to get something out of his athletes, although I think Mo would – that's a different issue because I don't think he's an 800-meter coach.
Yeah.
But they never look like they're having fun doing it. And I was about to say
that Sydney – I don't know if it's just her personality, but she always looks so like apathetic when she crosses the line. Like, I think the only time I've ever seen any excitement and was when she like broke her third world record in a row. She like maybe cracked a smile and covered her face, but I don't know. I just rarely do get like any finish line emotion.
Yeah. 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 So anyway, that's my two cents about that. So we're getting some hot takes today, huh? For the men, surprise, Ja'Cory Patterson runs 44.16, Chris Bailey 44.43, and Caleb McRae 44.45. Just barely missing out was Grandpa Vernon Norwood. He's been around for forever, still ran 44.47. Mostly because Chris Bailey came down that finish, the last straightaway, sort of like Quincy Hall did at the Olympics last year. Remember Quincy Hall at the Olympics last year?
Oh, God.
Just absolutely tearing down the final straight to win that thing. That's what Chris Bailey did this time and passed Vernon Norwood and pushed him back to fourth. So Quincy was not there, and he's not going to be at the World Championships. He has an injury. So that's too bad for Quincy not to be able to defend his championship. So what do you think? You think our guys can do something in the World Championships?
Is this quick? I'm a little bit ignorant on like world 400 times, but 40, like especially the 44, like fours, is that quick on the world stage?
It's okay. It's okay. It's not among the fastest. The fastest guys in the world will run 43 highs. The world record is just over 43 seconds. It's like 43.06 or something like that. That's an old world record. It's been around for a while, but 44 is not. I would like to think that the person who wins the USA should probably break 44 seconds.
Yeah.
So I feel like it's a little bit of a down year, but the 400 is so crazy. Like you, these guys will just bust out a 43 out of nowhere sometimes. And there's guys that have run 43 that'll run a 45 out of nowhere. It's a weird event. I don't know why it is the way it is, but it should be interesting anyway.
Well, you look at if you're looking at the qualifying times compared to the final, your point exactly, Bryce Dedman and Demaryius Smith, they were 1 and 2 in the qualifying with Bryce Dedman had the second best time overall if you're comparing that to the final, and he got 6th and Demaryius Smith 7th.
Yep. Yep. Yeah, the 400 is really unpredictable. Really unpredictable. Well, let's get to the middle distance races. These are my favorite races. I have to admit, I like the 5K and 10K, but I really love the 800 and the 1500. And man, the races were good at the middle distances. Wow. Starting with the women's 800, Roisin Willis. This race was wide open. Almost anybody could have won it. And Roisin Willis, just fresh off her, I think, yeah, she just had just won the NCAA championship. Ran 159, not a crazy fast time, but it went out fairly slow. Maggie Congdon came down with a huge kick. I mean, it was a great finish for her to finish second. And then Sage Hurta-Klecker, who has been close to making teams over and over again, finally makes a world's team. And then just missing out was Nia Akins, who was probably our best 800 meter runner last year. And she didn't make it. So our best 800 meter going in was Addie Wiley. And Addie Wiley got tripped up with about 100 meters out. And she never could regain that momentum. And she wound up finishing way back. So Roisin is so smart. She is the smartest 800 meter runner you'll see anywhere. She never gets caught up. If a race goes out too fast, she'll be at the back of the pack. If it goes out too slow, she'll be at the front. She runs her race and doesn't get caught up in the excitement of the race. And that's why she always runs well and finishes well. So she's from Stanford. That's kind of what you expect from a Stanford student, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I thought it was interesting. Pretty much all of them negative splitted.
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't know if that was I don't know. I didn't know if they were different, because I know like pretty much every single world elite male 800 meter. I mean, you pretty rarely see a negative split in 800. I just thought that was interesting. I don't think you get to a positive split until like fifth place. Well, no, even that was a negative split. I think all of them actually. Yeah, all of them were negative splits.
Yeah, the race went out slow. The race went out slow, and that's what happens when the race goes out slow. You're right. It doesn't happen very often in the 800. Typically, these women will come through that first lap in 57 or 58 and then come back in 60. But it went out slow this time. So, yeah, played right into Maggie Congdon's hands. She wouldn't have made it had it not gone out slow. And then the race of the weekend was the men's 800 meters. This was the race. Donovan Brazier, who has been hurt, won a world championship back in 2019, has been hurt pretty much ever since then and hasn't run well ever since then, runs a personal best in this race. He's all the way. He just started back to racing in June, and here he is running 142.16. I'm just really impressed with Donovan Brazier. But here's the thing. That was only the second best story of the race, because the best story was the guy who finished second. Cooper Lutkenhouse is a 16-year-old sophomore high school student who ran 142.27. How do you explain that?
That is wild. And you can see it on his face when he finishes. He's a little bit like, what on earth just happened?
Yeah. He should be.
Yeah.
Because we were all saying that.
Yeah.
I mean, he ran a fairly even split race. Most everybody ran positive splits, but his was a lot closer to even split. Because, he was trying to stay within himself. And then I guess he just realized he had more left in that last 200 and he thought he was going to have left. And he ran 25, almost 25 flat for the last 200 meters.
Yeah.
That's crazy. I mean,
you look at where he was 600 meters into the race and he was seventh out of the nine people in it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And I just think it's crazy when you look at his times prior, because going into that race, his PR was 145.45, and then he cuts 3 seconds off of it just to get top two and go on to USA Championship or World Championships.
Well, it's even more impressive than that. Think about this. Think about how many 800 meter races are run in high schools across the country every year. How many thousands, tens of thousands of 800 meter races run, right? Of all those tens of thousands of 800 meter racers that have been run, the next fastest time that has ever been run in the 800 is Michael Granville, and he ran 146 and a half. This is 4 seconds faster than the second fastest guy. And he is a sophomore in the 800 meters. It's nuts.
When he crossed the line, one of the announcers was like, well, was that a high school record? And they were like, yeah, by like 4 seconds. I mean, that's insane.
It takes a lot in a sporting event for me to jump out of my chair. I jumped out of my chair when I realized that was him coming around the corner there and moving himself up. And I mean, I was like, because I was excited about Donovan Brazier winning. And then I saw him and I was like, oh my gosh, this is great. It was awesome.
Yeah, the Donovan Brazier one, to me, Donovan Brazier is really cool because it's like I remember me, Patton, and Devin like talking about Donovan Brazier in high school, and then I just hadn't heard his name. Like I was like, well, that's a shame because he was an amazing 800 runner. I guess, you know, that's just it. Like he's done. And then all of a sudden, I mean, I think he's ran like one or two races before this.
Yeah, yeah.
Like smaller races. And then he just comes out. That was really cool to me because that is extremely hard to. I mean, it is one thing to become a world champion. Now that's probably the harder part, but to then fall off like he did and have that like 3-4 years, and then just come like right back on the scene. That was pretty impressive.
It is impressive for sure. Third place in this race, we haven't even mentioned Bryce Hopple. Who was fourth in the Olympics last year, ran 142.49. Just think about that. If you're in this race and you run 142.5, you're out. You don't even go to the world championships. That's ridiculous. That would win the world championships in most years up until these last couple of years. And then here, poor old Josh Hoey ran right at 143 and didn't make it. He just ran out of gas.
The whole race.
What's that?
Up until the last 100, led the whole race, right?
Yeah, he did. Yeah. Yeah. And it was sad. If you look at his splits, if you look at the 100-meter splits, he was slower. Every 100 meters, he got slower. He slowed down the entire race.
Wow.
And they finally caught him by the end. So
crazy.
He just went out too fast. If he'd have gone out a half second slower in the first lap, I believe he'd have won it. But he didn't. And you make that mistake and you pay for it. I feel sorry for him because he had a chance at doing something big in the world championships. Now, having said that, I think there are two guys. What's his name? The Canadian, the big Canadian guy. And gosh, I'm losing names now. The Kenyan, not Kenyan, all the other Kenyan. That are head and shoulders above everybody else right now. They're going to be hard to beat. But man, you don't know what Cooper Lutkenhouse can do. If he can cut 3 seconds off, maybe he still hasn't found his limit. Who knows, right? So it's going to be fun to watch. Fun to watch. You know, even Jim Ryan. You know, when he was in high school, of course, he set a world record in high school. That was pretty amazing. He beat the Olympic champion in the 1500 meters. When he was in high school, that was pretty impressive. But he was 18; he wasn't 16, and so it's crazy.
Yeah, it was crazy. I was wondering what is the I don't know. Maybe this is what he's going for. But our boy Colin there, Patton. I mean, I don't know. Is he an 800 runner now, or has he been doing that, or? I just was surprised to see him in the 800.
Well, he runs the 800. The
800 a good bit this year. I mean, the 800, the 1500 meter.
The 1500 is so loaded. The 800 wasn't really as loaded as it is until recently. And so I think he thought he had a better shot in the 800.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he made the final. Huh. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway. When I was in high school, whenever somebody had a crazy, crazy performance, we would call it a Bob Beamanish you know, race or whatever, because Bob Beamon was the guy that ran, that jumped 29 feet back in 1968 and broke the world record by over a foot. And it was just a crazy, crazy thing to happen. So, but this Cooper Lutkenhouse thing, that was a Bob Beamon-ish move. If I ever heard, if I ever saw one.
When you said Bob Beamon, I thought you were talking about the guy, gosh, what was his name? He wore the white hat. He came back.
He was an 800 meter runner. Yep. Oh, gosh, the names are just are not in my head tonight. It's he was an Olympic champion. Went from last to first over the last lap.
Yeah. His name wasn't Jim, was it?
No.
I can't remember.
He wore the painter's cap.
Yeah.
Golly, I can't remember names right now. Let's go on to the 1,500 meters. On the women's side, you had Nikki Hiltz. The race went out slow. Nikki Hiltz has the best kick, and she proved it, and she won. Sinclair Johnson was second. They both ran 4:03, and then 4:04, Emily Mackay was third. It's a pretty boring race. It went as expected. None of these ladies are going to make a splash at the World Championships, because if you can't run low 350s, you're just not going to place. And I don't think any of these ladies can run low 350s. I think 355 maybe. But I think it's going to take faster than that to podium at the World Championships. And I'm just not a Nikki Hiltz fan at all. So I was kind of disappointed. I was hoping Sinclair would get her. Any word on what do you guys think about those?
I didn't know Nikki Hiltz was like good, because I don't really know much like women's 1500 runners, but Christian is the one who kind of told me this Nikki Hiltz is pretty good. And I mean, she's got good form. She got pretty good form. But she definitely does. It was interesting.
And she's got quick feet over that last 100. It's good stuff.
Yeah.
The men's 1500 was a great race, but man, how disappointing was it? Holy smokes. Everybody was thinking, okay, Cole Hawker's a lock, Jared Neguse is a lock, and then who's going to get third? That's what everybody thought. That's what everybody predicted. I don't know anybody who said any of those, that one of those guys was not going to win. And as it turns out, Jared Neguse led nearly the entire race and wound up fading hard in the end. And Jonah Kowich runs a personal best, runs 3:30 and wins it. Crazy. The guy that he's been running for a while, and all of a sudden he went for, I think he ran like 3:37 last year, and has dropped his time this year, and all of a sudden he's one of the best in the world. It's the craziest thing. And then Ethan Strand is a guy who went to the University of North Carolina, and anytime Ethan Strand is anywhere near the front in the last 100 meters, watch out, because the dude's got a fire kick, and he did. And the only guy that was faster than him was Jonah Kowich. Matter of fact, Cole Hawker, I think, ran the last, you can verify this, but I think Cole Hawker ran the last 200 slower than Ethan Strand did, maybe. Or
close. He ran the last 300 slower, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, Ethan Strand had a better split than everybody else in the last 300.
Yeah.
He was eighth with 300 to go and finished second.
Yeah, yeah. He's got a crazy good kick. But Cole Hawker does too. This race wasn't particularly slow. It was a pretty fast race. I mean, this is basically a 347, 348 mile. So it was fast. But Jared Neguse just faded. Hobbs Kessler didn't make the team either. Jared was third in the Olympics. Hobbs was fifth in the Olympics. Neither one of them make it back to the World Championships. That's crazy. That's just crazy. The depth in the 1500 is unbelievable.
Yeah.
Seventh place in this race was equivalent to a 349 mile.
That is crazy.
I remember when 349 was the world record.
Well, Yard just likes to play the game of leader. And you know, that's always a dangerous game to play, especially in a 1500 meter.
Yeah.
And Hobbs Kessler is riding on his tail the whole time. And they just, like you said, didn't have it in the last 300.
Yeah, and I don't understand. You know, Yard has done a pretty decent job of leading these races and still finishing pretty strong. But for whatever reason, this year, he hasn't been able to finish well in these races where he has led. So I don't know what's changed from last year, but something has changed. I wonder if they were, if they really weren't working on all his sharpening up that last 100 meters, because I figured he would make it and they would work on that between now and the World Championships, and they misjudged themselves. That's what I wonder.
Yeah. Yeah, I've always thought about that. How, like, what is, I wonder what some of these guys, how they train coming in, because you got people like Cole Hawker who are, I mean, fairly obviously a shoe-in for Worlds. But, I mean, you just never really know. So, I mean, I wonder how many people actually do a proper taper and, like, you know, final few weeks of speed, and who just kind of, like, cruise in.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just, it's, that concept is always interesting. Because what is Worlds, like 3 weeks away or something?
Yeah, well, it's more than that. Really? It's about 4 weeks. It's about, I think it's at least 4 weeks after USA's.
Yeah.
It's a pretty good gap. Pretty good gap. So,
yeah.
I don't know. Of course, we're always as good as we're the best country in the world at the 1500 meters. So, surely we have a shot at somebody finishing in that, in the top three at the World Championships. Any of those three guys, I think, could.
Yeah. I enjoyed seeing
it. I thought it was cool for Ethan.
Yeah.
I just thought it was cool for Ethan Strain to do what he did, going from, I mean, you know him as winning the 3,000 in college, then coming out here and getting second in the 1500.
Yeah, he didn't even win NCAAs in the 1500.
I know. Crazy to think about.
Yeah.
Yeah, I enjoy seeing Gary Martin in there, because Gary, I remember when Gary was in high school and I had no clue who he was. And, you know, you usually hear, when I was in high school, there was only kind of a few kids breaking four each year. And then, like, about the time I got out is kind of when, like, four, five, six kids started doing it. I remember Gary Martin was one of those who, and usually you'll hear them getting close, you know, like, oh, you know, Nico's getting close or whatever. And Gary, I had never heard of the guy's name. And then I remember, I think it was maybe Devin, or maybe I was out of high school at this point. I don't know how old he is. But they were like, yeah, there's this new kid who just broke four. And I was like, really? Who is it? And they were like, this Gary Martin guy. He runs with glasses. Yeah. And I was like, oh, wow. And I looked at him, and it's just one of those moments where I was like, okay, so everyone's just breaking four now, I guess.
Yeah, he does not look like the guy that would break four, does he?
Yeah, yeah.
I love it. The steeplechase, the women's, you know, the women's steeplechase in the United States has gotten really deep. I don't think we have anybody who can challenge for a podium spot, but we're really deep. You know, it used to be if you could run under 9:10 for the steeplechase, you know, you were really good, and you're still really good. And we have a number of ladies that can do it, but, you know, this race was one of those, it was so wide open. There was no telling who was going to win. Lexi Halliday Lowry winds up winning 9:09. She's a BYU lady. Angelina Napoleon finishes second in 9:10. She's an NC State girl. And then Kaylee Mitchell was 9:11. Chrissy Gear just missed out. She has made world championship teams in the past. She was coming on strong at the end, but couldn't get into that top three. But you had great names like Olivia Markovic, Courtney Wayman, Val Constein, who won the Olympic trials last year, and Gabby Jennings, who I think a lot of people thought would win this race. They're all out. So it'll be interesting to see how these ladies can do. Fresh blood going to world championships. None of these three made it to the Olympics last year. So it's a whole fresh crop. That makes it interesting, doesn't it?
Yeah.
On the men's side, Kenneth Rooks did his job, came through and won. The race was slow, and it came down to who's got the legs over the last lap or two. And, of course, that killed Matthew Wilkinson. I don't know what happened to Matthew Wilkinson. He was up there, and then all of a sudden He just faded. And I guess he just maybe didn't have the speed that everybody else had. But Kenneth Rooks comes through and has the kick. Dan Mikulski. No, I mean, I've heard his name before. I think I've only heard his name because I've heard the Let's Run guys talk about him, because he ran in a Let's Run singlet one time for in a race. The guy, you know, he's just been, he's had a regular job, but he joined the Air Force team this past year and has been running pretty well. And he's been training with Kenneth Rooks. And sure enough, he finished. I mean, he almost outkicked Rooks. He was right there with him down the straightaway. They ran 8:26. Now, both of those guys can run probably, I know Kenneth Rooks can run under 8:10 because he's done it. Dan Mikulski can, I'm sure he can run at least 10 seconds faster than that, but it was a slow race. Bernard Keeter winds up third, running 8:29. He does not have the standard. So we'll have to see what happens, whether or not he's able to get the standard between now and the World Championships. So I don't know. Do you think any of these guys have a shot at doing something at Worlds?
I'm not super up to date with like 3,000 with the steeplechase. So Bernard, does that mean he has to run the world standard from between now and Worlds?
Yeah.
At some race?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Or else somebody else will get that spot, I think. I think Corrigan has it. I think there's one other, at least one other that has, though. I think Matthew Wilkinson has it, actually. And I think he finished fourth or fifth in this race. I can't remember what place he finished.
So you just have to have a personal best of the world standard.
Yeah, it has to be within a window of time, and I can't remember when exactly how far back that window goes, but within the last, say within the last year or so.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I mean, Kenneth Rooks finished second in the Olympics, so, well, I'm not counting that guy out for sure. I mean, he surprised everybody. He was the story of the Olympics to me, but one of my favorite races I've ever watched was watching that Kenneth Rooks race. I mean, the boldness to take the lead with 300 meters to go in the steeplechase in the Olympics was just crazy. It was like, Kenneth Rooks is taking the lead. This is another time I got off my couch. I'm jumping up and down. I'm like, look at Rooks. Look at him. It was crazy. In the 5,000, we had a cool story in the 5,000 meters. Shelby Houlihan, who has been suspended for the last 3 or 4 years for... She says she ate a burrito, but of course, she tested positive for a banned substance and has served her suspension, and she has come back. And now she's the 5,000 meter USA champion. Another race that went out slow. Shelby Houlihan has always had a devastating kick, and they played right into her hands. And she won. Elise Cranny was second at 15:14, and then Josette Andrews was third in 15:15. Josette had run like 14:20 something coming in, so this was almost a minute slower than she had the ability to run. She just couldn't. She couldn't keep up with him in the kickers race, and of course that's why Winnie Kalati Fresky, she missed the cut altogether in the 5,000 and the 10,000. She finished fourth in both, and she's probably the best overall distance runner we have in the United States as far as in a time trial type race. So that was a shame, but it was cool to see Shelby. A lot of people are down on Shelby because, you know, a lot of people, once somebody tests positive for drugs, they're like, I'm done with that person.
Yeah.
I like it if somebody gets a second chance and they do something with it and they stay clean. Now I hope she's clean.
Yeah.
And if she is and she's doing well, then good for her for, you know, serving that suspension and just coming back and going after it.
Yeah.
I don't think we have to worry about any of these at Worlds because the Ethiopians and the Kenyans will dominate this race. Even the Italians have a better runner than we do. So
that's funny. It just shows how kind of the difference in the different, you know, continents and their running ability. What do you think the Ethiopians and Kenyans will run? What are they capable of running time-wise?
Well, you know that what's-her-name just set the world record a month or so ago. She ran 13:58.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
So this is what I'm saying. So when I was in college, I was at an indoor meet, and I think it was a I think she was Kenyan. She was running for Alabama. And Shelby Houlihan just won the U.S. championships with a 15-13. And I'm pretty sure I remember seeing this Kenyan woman run for Alabama, and she ran like 15-27 or something at a random indoor meet when I was like a sophomore in college.
Yep.
And so there's just like a different level of, you know,
I don't know. Well, this race was one of those jog fests for the first 2 miles.
Yeah.
So all of these ladies have run under 15 minutes, well under 15 minutes.
Okay. Yeah. I keep forgetting about these championship style.
Yeah.
Dynamics.
Yeah. They are faster than that, but they're not fast enough to finish with those ladies who are going to run 14:10 in the world championships. So on the men's side, that was a cool race. Cole Hocker comes back from finishing third in the 1500, and they let him lead for a good portion of this race. And Cole had just got through in an interview saying that 1500 was one of the easiest 1500s on his body that he had ever run. It just didn't really stress him very much. And so he came back and won this 1500 or 5000 with a 51.76 last lap. That's a pretty quick last lap.
Yeah, that's fairly fast.
That's close to my PR for the 400 meters. And I was a pretty good 400 meter runner. So that's fast. And Grant Fisher, he outkicked Grant Fisher. Grant Fisher was right there trying to kick with him, but just couldn't match Cole. And then Nico Young was 1 second behind them. All three of those. Well, I think Grant Fisher and Nico Young probably have a better chance at making a splash at Worlds than Cole Hocker. Because I think if it's a fast race, it probably will be at Worlds. And Grant Fisher and Nico Young have both run like 12:45 this year.
Yeah.
And I think that's the kind of race it's going to be at the World Championships. And I just don't think Cole Hocker can run that kind of race.
Yeah. I've always liked Grant Fisher. And I still think I think Grant Fisher just has that thing. I mean, Nico obviously does too. But I really like Grant Fisher. I mean, I think he can really, you know, do something. It is satisfying though when you see a top three and you're like, that's about what I expected. Like in some way. Like
Yeah. I had Fisher, Young, and then I had somebody else third. Who was it? I think I had what's his name? The Harvard guy third.
Graham Blanks.
Huh?
I was saying Graham Blanks.
Yeah, Graham Blanks. Yeah.
Oh yeah. That is something cool too. When you see like Graham and Parker Wolf and Gary Martin, these are like kids that me and Patton kind of, you know, didn't go to high school with, but we were there at the same time.
Yeah.
It was also cool to see Drew Hunter got fourth. I know he's been, you know, kind of getting his feet back under him the past few years. I think he did great. He did an amazing race. And so I'm not saying this to like throw any shade. He did amazing, but he had one of the ugliest finishes. I don't know if y'all saw it, but I mean, he was, I thought he was about to die legitimately.
Yep. That's Drew Hunter.
Yeah.
That's what he looks like when he's finished, but he finishes fast.
He does.
Yeah. I mean, he went from 11th with 800 to go to fourth, and he had probably the second best last 400 meters from the group.
Yeah. Yeah.
52.7.
You know, he was fast in high school like that, too. He had a big kick in high school as well. There's a YouTube video of him running a 4x1 mile relay. And I don't remember if he gets the baton way before behind somebody, but he gets the baton and he's so far behind the guy in front of him that the guy in front of him is almost like he's almost jogging it in. And because he thinks there's no way he can catch him. And here he comes. Drew Hunter comes blowing by him right at the line. And Drew Hunter winds up winning the race. It's a classic for sure. All right. The 10,000 meter for women. This was another cool story because Emily Infeld was the one that won. I don't think anybody picked her. She's 35 years old. She's been in a lot of these championships. She used to be a good, really good 1500 meter runner.
And now she's winning the women's 10,000. I don't think anybody saw that coming. She only ran 31:43. Normally in this race, you'd see about a minute faster than that. So another race that went out slow, and the kickers raked in the good luck from that. And Whiny Kalati, again, just missed out because Whiny Kalati has no kick. And that's a shame for her. But 31:43 isn't going to, that you may get, they're going to get lapped at the World Championships if they run that time there. So we'll have to see how that goes. And then I didn't put the men's 10,000 on here. Then you had the men's 10,000 meters, which was the same kind of race. It was slow. It went out slow, and it didn't. I can find it.
I got it pulled up.
Yeah, it went out slow, and it wasn't a very fast race. But Nico Young, who has had a great kick all year, comes through in the end and runs well. And runs what did he run the last? He ran the last 100 meters in 13.23. He was smoking that. His last 200 meters was 27 seconds. He was moving. Anyway.
His last 400 was 56.
Yeah, yeah. Grant Fisher finishes second, just not even a half second behind him. And then Graham Blanks is a second behind them, finishing third. So I'm glad to see Graham making a world championship team. It was, you know, those were the three guys that had the world standard. There was one other, I think. Yeah. Woody Kincaid had it because he'd been in the world championships before and was, I think, the defending United States champion not from the Olympics, but from the world championship year, the year before. And Woody Kincaid's got a great kick, but he was never in this one. So, good race, fun race. I think Nico Young, Grant Fisher, Graham Blanks, I think they've all got a shot at staying somewhere up near the front in the world championships. You think they have a chance at meddling?
I think anytime you get Nico Young, late race, Grant Fisher, they're going to have a chance. And Graham Blanks too. He's not bursting on the scene, but he's bursting on the world scene.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he medaled twice last year in the Olympics in the 5 and the 10. So no reason to think he can't do it again. I do think Nico Young is a quarter step ahead of Grant right now. So it should be interesting to see what happens. We'll see.
It was pretty wild to watch this race. I mean they ran a 3:57 last mile. I mean, that is, yeah. Let's go out and let's run 5 miles at 4:40. Let's jog and then let's run a 3:57. I mean, that's just that is insane. I don't really know, because I was just looking at Nico's personal best, and his personal best 10,000 is 26:52. And that kind of surprises me, because as far as, like, you know, downright world, the best of the best, that's not incredibly, like, up there. But I can see him, I guess, running with them in a way. And so I don't know. I feel like in worlds, if you get some of those, like, Chepti guys and stuff like that, if they really want to, like, push it, I don't know. They may struggle, but yeah, I just thought that dynamic was interesting, because Nico's been doing so well and running so fast. I didn't know that his personal best was only 26:52. I say only 26:52, but yeah. You
know. Well, Chepti guy is not going to be there this year.
Really?
He's running on the roads now, running marathons, so he's not going to be there. Yeah. And that leaves it wide open, because the Ethiopians are the fastest guys. They always have the fastest guys coming in, but they always run stupid. And they never finish well, because they're just, I don't know. They you know, you saw them in the Olympics. All three of them took a turn leading the race in the 10,000 meters, and only one of them finished in the top three. And yeah, that's typical for them. So I expect them to do the same thing again this year. And I think that leaves a spot or two open for Nico and Grant, and maybe even Graham. Graham's a good runner. Graham doesn't have quite the kick that the other two guys have, but he's a good runner.
So yeah.
It'll be interesting. And I almost forgot the hurdles. So the women's hurdles, the women's 100-meter hurdles, we are so good at that race, both the men's and the women's short hurdles. Masai Russell, Grace Stark, Alaysha Johnson, 12:22, 12:31, 12:36, fast times. There was only one person that was actually in this race who didn't have the world standard coming in. We're just really good at this event, and I expect it, and there's no telling. It could be any of these three ladies could finish well at what could win world championships. And we could finish 1, 2, 3 at world championships even. They're that good. But there are some other good ones out there. So, they should do well. The men's 110 hurdles was a big surprise. Of course, Cordell Tench has been killing it all year long, and he kept that up. He finished second. Dylan Beard finished third, 13:03, 13:04. Trey Cunningham finished at 13.1, didn't make the world championships, which is a shame because he's been running great this year. I think he had run 13 flat this year, and he didn't bring out the big race at the right time. But the guy who did was Jacoby Thorpe, who just got out of, I think he just graduated from college, Auburn University, ran 13.01. and won this thing, and I don't think anybody saw that coming. He won it from lane one, which is very unusual, and it was good for Jacoby. He seems like a decent guy, and our guys at 13:01, 13:03, and 13:04, they've all got a shot at finishing up there. And then, of course, you got my names are just killing me today, but we've got a bye for the 110 meter hurdles. So the defending champion, he'll be back, and I expect him to do well. So that'll be a good event. And then, of course, the 400 meter hurdles. You had no Sydney in the women's 400 meter hurdles for the first time in a long time. Dalila Muhammad, though, who had been, she was the one that Sydney displaced as the best in the United States when she did. And now that Sydney's gone, Dalila has risen back up to the top. Interesting, because Anna Cockrell was the one that finished second at the Olympics last year, but she finished second in this race and got beat by Dalila. So she ran a 52.65, which is a pretty good fast time. Anna Cockrell was second, just behind her. And then Jasmine Jones was third. It was a very predictable race. I think most people probably thought it was either Dalila Anna or Anna Dalila, and then Jasmine Jones would probably finish third. And that's what happened. None of them have a chance, I don't think, of winning the Olympic, the World Championships, because you've got the one from the Netherlands that runs all the races. Golly, I don't know what my brain is on today, but she'll be there and they won't beat her. So, but they got a shot at silver and bronze for sure. And in the men's 400, Rye Benjamin wins. He's the defending Olympic champion, 46.89. Caleb Dean second, 48.45. You'll notice there's almost a 2-second difference between those two because it's a whole different stratosphere when you get to Rye Benjamin's level. So with Rye Benjamin and, the other two guys that are, there's three guys that are so much faster than everybody else in the world that you don't even think about anybody else interrupting those three. And it's probably going to be that way again this year. So, that I think Rye Benjamin though is, he's been running well. I think he's got a good shot at winning it. So any thoughts on that one?
Well, Dean, I think you're right with him. I mean, you've seen what he's done in the past. Olympic medalist, 2-time, winning gold last year. There's not much more you can say on that.
Yeah. Well, and the thing about Rye Benjamin that I always remember, Rye Benjamin was in the greatest race I've ever watched. I know that the 800 meters was great this year, but I still think the greatest race I've ever watched was the 400 meter Olympics. Not this past, I think it was the Olympics before. When, why are names so hard for me right now? The Norway guy, that passed this shit, huh?
Karsten?
Yeah, Karsten Warholm.
Karsten Warholm.
Karsten Warholm It looks like Rye Benjamin's going to win, and I don't know where Carsten Warholm found that extra gear coming down the finish. It was the most amazing thing I've ever seen. He set the world record, first person under 46 seconds in the 400-meter hurdles, and it was just nuts because Rye Benjamin ran under the world record time. Matter of fact, Allison DeSantos for third, I think, ran under the world record time and finished third. How often does that happen, right? So that was a great race. They'll all be battling again this year. So
is Carsten the one? Did he tear his jersey one time?
Yeah, yeah. That's Carsten.
I remember that. That's funny.
Yep. Well, anything you guys want to add to anything we've said here? We've gone a lot longer than I thought we would.
Nothing in particular. I mean, we got some really strong guys and girls for the U.S., I think.
Yep, for sure.
I just like seeing, like, you know, fast Americans in the, you know, 5,000, 10,000. I mean, I know we've always had them, but I feel like we've got a lot of guys who can really spread across different events and do really well.
It's true. It's true.
I just think it'll be interesting to see how Cooper, Donovan, and Bryce hold up in the 800 with Cooper going from 3 second PR basically to see what he does next.
It will be interesting to see if he can match that, won't it?
Yeah.
It's going to be fun to watch, I think. Yeah. Well, I think championship track and field is the best. I just don't understand why more people are not interested in watching it because it is so much fun to watch. I mean, I watched every event, every prelim, everything. I loved it. I know I'm a geek about it, but it's just so good. So I can't wait. The World Championships are in September from the 13th through the 21st. They're in Tokyo, Japan this year. So watching it may be a little funky. You may have to get up in the middle of the night to watch it if you want to watch it. There's like a 13 or 14 hour time difference from Tokyo. So for Eastern time. So it's even more than that for Pacific time. So the no sleep deal, though, is totally worth it. If I have to get up in the middle of the night and watch it, I'm fine. I can get over that bad week of sleep. It's no problem. It'll be worth it. And maybe we'll bring you back. Maybe we'll all come back here and we'll bring back our commentary for those races when they happen. Maybe we'll get together and we'll make some predictions. Before the World Championships, we'll put our predictions out there and we'll see how we do. Would that be fun?
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, it would be.
All right.
Dean, you were talking about championship races and how fun it is to watch. And me and Christian were just watching a video while we were eating dinner. There's a Hayden Wild video. Hayden Wild is a professional triathlete. And none other than Mo Farah was in this video. And to those at home, if you don't know what we're talking about when we say championship dynamics or championship races, I want you to go watch Mo Farah at the 2012 Olympics and watch that work of art.
Yeah.
That's what I'll have to say.
The 5K and 10K.
Yeah.
Good parting thought. Well, again, we'll get back to you at that time. And until then, we appreciate you tuning in. We hope you enjoyed it. Thank you, Patton. Thank you, Lane, for taking the time and this late night. Y'all are keeping me up past my bedtime, but totally worth it when we're talking track and field. So hope everybody else enjoyed it. Until next time. May God bless every step of every run and or walk. Go out there and shine your light.
For more information about Upward Running, visit upwardrunning.com. If you have questions about your salvation, click on the Peace with God tab. There is nothing more important. Thanks for joining us today.